Father, we come before you this morning. We want to appreciate you for your cares, your grace, and mercy upon every one of us. Thank you for taking us this week safely and victoriously. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for everything you have done for us this past week that have gone into records and testimonies of your greatness. We are grateful. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house again. Not everyone that saw the beginning of the week are privileged to see the end of it, and that much the beginning of another week. We are grateful. It is not because of our righteousness or anything better we have done that others have not done. It's simply because you are not done with us. You still have to work upon us to make us to be what you want us to be. And we recognize this, Heavenly Father, and we present ourselves before you, asking for mercy and grace for every one of us. Lord, for we know except you show us your grace, Lord, there is nothing we can amount to, there is nothing we can achieve. Lord, let the services of today, Eternal Father, greatly impart our lives, take us to higher ground. Let us have testimonies, Lord, of your visitation in our lives, for our spiritual life, for our healing, for our physical, financial, material needs, for everything that we have need that we have brought before you this morning. Our Father, we know you are more than able to meet the needs of everyone. Lord, the conditions, Lord, that are set before us for this to be met, it's you alone that can meet those conditions too. Lord, the grace to meet them you give unto us, Father. Lord, lift up top, O God, let us, Eternal Father, at the end of the services of today, each have testimony to give to your glory. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, your faithfulness to your promises, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are right in their midst to fulfill your promises. Lord, give grace to the weak, strengthen the feeble, Heavenly Father. Let the strong continue to be strong, stronger on a daily basis. Thank you, Everlasting Father, for we commit ourselves to you, that the services, Lord, will tremendously benefit us, and all the glory and honor will be thine. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Revelation 21. We have two more services after this, by the grace of God, to conclude on this, except something else. But by the grace of God, we are looking unto God to help us. After today's service, we'll have another Sunday school on the same topic, answering questions or pending ones, and then rounding up, and then the last one will not be the little summary of this sermon from the beginning up to the last week. God bless you. Let's open. Let's read from verse 1 to the end, and from verse 15 you can see that. And I saw a new heaven and a new heart, for the first heaven and the first heart were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and I shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, close seated. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear crystal. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. Every several gate was of one pair, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent gold. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb at the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no more wise, there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We bring in our thoughts on the overcomers. The prophet told us that is the overcomer that has the city. And that's what we've been on. So we'll continue with that this morning as we render power. Yes. Now we were from the seven churches book, delivered from. We are talking about how Jesus Christ himself overcame, and the prophet told us that is, Jesus gave us the example on how to overcome. Well, if I jump into that, the prophet told us that this city we're talking about is for the overcomers. And the people that we overcome in their own time, the challenges, the temptations, the hardship of their time, you know, everything that God will allow to come to your way, to come to my way. And as the predestinated, victorious children of God, we will overcome. And the prophet told us that there is only one way to overcome, and it is through the word. To be an overcomer, of course, in concluding our talk last Sunday, the prophet says the word. We overcome by applying the word. And the word cannot be applied until the word is resident in our souls to overcome. Alright, let's move a little further so that we will understand that. The overcomer is true. Are you there? Oh, okay. Let me bring it here. In his own personal life, Jesus Christ's own personal life, contending with himself, that is such a word. Contending with himself, he overcame by obedience to the word of God. And for a man to be obedient to God's word is only a Christian that is obedient to God's word. Because the prophet said, until a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will argue. Arguing with God's word means that you don't see what God says. You don't want to accept it based on your own conviction, based on your own understanding of the situation. The situation is before you. The word of God says, this is the way to go about it. This is the way out of it. But because it doesn't sound reasonable to you, or it affects your personality, if it affects your pride, you feel that going goes that way because of the nature that is conflicting against God's word. You don't want to listen to that. And that is the nature that circumvents God's word, looking for an alternative to circumvent God's word, to try to pad God's word, to dodge it, to say that leave that one. Let us look at this. If God's word comes to talk about two different things, if God says this here, and he says this there, for example, in the time of Moses, when God told them that they must all participate in the feast, I want you to listen closely. That they must all participate in the feast. And at the same time, anyone who is defiled by the dead must also come. It was compulsory for them to participate in the feast. It's also forbidden for them, when they are defiled by the dead, not to come. And it was the time for the feast. It was announced. They were expected to come. Behold, there was death in their midst. And some of them had to attend to the dead, and carrying the corpse, they are defiled in Israel during that time. So they have to purify themselves before they come to the congregation. So Moses has, the trumpet has blown for the feast, and they were expected, and many of them did not come.
And they send message to Moses that, look, we know the feast is going on, and we are supposed to be there, but we are also defiled by the dead. We can't come. Moses has to consult God. He did not use his reasoning to say, oh, since you are defiled, don't bother to come. He had to go to God. God told them that, let them go and purify themselves. After they have done that, they should come for the feast. They must obey it. God's war, two coasts don't fight each other. They corroborate each other. They give further understanding. They give further wisdom and knowledge of God's mind. Coasts don't fight. It is our wisdom, our understanding, our reasoning that are conflicting against God's word. And that is why the prophet told us that it takes revelation to see eye to eye. If the Holy Spirit, I have given that example here before, that if I have a binocular with me here, and on there's a hill very close to Diaz's house, if an antelope is sitting there, and I can see from here, that hill, but you may physically you'll not be able to pick what is the nature of the animal, and you may not even see the animal there. But when you take your binocular and it's well focused, and you focus it there, you will see the color of the antelope. If it's a deer, you will see. You will know this is a deer by the binocular. Because binocular is meant to bring closer to you something that is far away. And not only that, it will define the features of that object. You will know whether it is blue or black or red, whatever color. You will know it. So if I stand here and I look at that place and I use the binocular and I see a deer there and I tell somebody else that, oh, there's a deer in that place. You know, how did you see it? I don't believe you. You could argue with me until you will slap me on the face that I am too proud. That I don't know what I'm talking about. How can you see antelope there? I saw it now. With this antelope. I forget it. If I'm able to persuade him and I give him the binocular, and he's able to look at it truly, at the end of the day, Kilomashe, he will surrender. He will say, I'm sorry. I didn't know that there's a way for me to see. That is what revelation does. That's what revelation does. The prophet said that faith is a binocular. In the sermon, why cry Moses? It's a binocular. God gives us the Holy Spirit revelation to see what he sees. To see what he sees. And so when we don't have that revelation of that word, we will not be submissive to that word. And when we are not submissive, then we are in conflict with the word, and we cannot use the word to overcome the enemy. Because when your obedience is complete, you will bring everything obedience under control when your obedience is complete. Is that not what the scripture says? You will be able to avenge every disobedience. When what? When your obedience is complete. Can you give us that scripture? I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter. Sorry. This is why sometimes we don't finish on time. I don't know if you'll be able to get it. Oh. Can anyone in the audience, well, if you have your Bible, I'm trying to get that scripture, 2 Corinthians something. You know it? Okay. Sorry, I want us to read that scripture. Maybe just give me a little time. Every disobedience. Oh.
something. First Corinthians.
Six.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah. Thank you. And having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You can't avenge obedience from any other person when you are disobedient. So when you don't obey God's word, you can't enforce this on another person. If we don't see, if you don't have the revelation of God's word, there is no way we can apply it. Now, let me come this way also. You will remember in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, God was talking to the children of Israel. And in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul quoted it when he was talking about the new covenant. He said, "The day comes, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Thank you. And with the house of Jacob. Let's go. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring." I don't have all these things that we're talking about here. It's not part of what I prepared. But I will follow this way. "That I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord." Go on. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That is what the new covenant, New Testament, which Jesus came with his blood to accomplish. The prophet have always been telling us, I think in the sermon that the evangelist took of recent, talking about, I can't remember the title of it, the sermon that you took when Brother Sam was having his rest. Okay. He was talking about, you know, the blood of animal, why the animal's life could not come upon the believer. It is because the animal has only two composition, spirit and body, not his soul. And so, after the sacrifice is made, the spirit of the animal could not come upon the man to change the man's nature. He couldn't change the man's nature. So that was why their nature was not were not converted. So that's why God made this law that a time come that I will make a new covenant with them. Please display it. I will make a new covenant with them. I will write my laws in the tables of their heart. I think it's also in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2. I will write my laws in the tables of their heart. This shall be the point I will make. I will put my law, and the law being put in the heart of you and me today is the Holy Ghost baptism. Because the Holy Spirit is the word, is the law of God, is God's word in spirit form. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the word is dwelling in you. God is dwelling in you. That's why the prophet preaches sermon, he that is in you. So the Holy Spirit is living in you. So the spirit is what brings your body subject to the word. A man that is not converted cannot be obedient, cannot be subject. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that. He said a carnal man can never be what? Subject to God's word. Because every word of God is a foolishness to him. So that's why we argue. So if you don't have revelation of the word, if you look as if, you know, somebody is forcing something down your throat, it will make it look as if somebody is making life difficult for you. But when that revelation strikes you, look at Paul. Look at his life. Look at the way he lived his life before he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. He was busting for the wrong thing. He was energized. He was given completely to the wrong thing. But once he encountered the Lord and he caught the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, his life changed entirely. He became a changed person. He saw exactly what he didn't see before.
What you were persecuting them for? Who is this Jesus? You are talking about one Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And that Jesus appeared unto him and say, I am Jesus whom you persecute. After the revelation, was he able to say anything? He became like vegetable that is pushed inside hot water. Very, very submissive. Finally, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't meet Peter. He didn't meet James. He didn't meet John. He went to Arabia to go and study the scroll, being led by God. And he came back exactly preaching what Peter preached. Preaching what others were preaching. And he set the church in order in his time, to the extent that God allowed him. May the Lord be our help. So in his own personal life, he obeyed. He overcame by obedience to God's word. So there is no overcomer that is disobedient. If you disobey God's word, you are not a victor. You are not an overcomer. You have been overcome. It is not a matter of mouth confession alone. We can confess I am an overcomer, but it must be a practical thing in our lives. The Holy Spirit must take dominance of our souls so that we will be obedient. He overcame by obedience in his own personal temptation, personal life, challenges that he faced. Everything that came to him, the prophet said, was a man like we are. 100% man, 100% God. That 100% man aspect of him is just like you. Only that the body was the word. But he was subject to trial and temptation and the hunger and thirst and tiredness and weariness, like we said last Sunday. Sickness and whatever more. He bore our iniquity and our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. He bore every, he is subject to sorrow, a man of sorrow. Isaiah chapter 53. He was a man that was constantly not having it easy here. Yet, he was the King of glory. He owned the resources of heaven and earth. Yet, he suffered hunger here. He wasn't having enough to eat. Only one clue that we saw on him, they were giving him clothes. They sewed clothes for him. His clothes was gorgeous to the point that the soldiers, they parted his garment. According to the scripture. So he had to wear one that they would be coveted. And he overcame by obedience to the world. Everything the world says. That was why he obeyed the death. That's why he surrendered himself for death. That's why he surrendered himself for to die. If not, look at what he did in the garden of Gethsemane. When they came unto him, one part of the scripture says that when they came unto him, he went to appear unto them and told them, who are you looking for? He said, who are you looking for? I said, we are looking for Jesus. He said, I am he. When he said, I am he, what happened to them? I want the congregation to respond. What happened to them? You are not reading your Bible? What did they do? They fell down. Because by that time, he has not surrendered himself and it was not time. But when the time came, he surrendered. It is his obedience that hand us salvation. It was his obedience that hand us redemption, that hand us healing, that hand us deliverance, that made us victorious over the enemy. It's only through his obedience. So we can, if we don't obey God's word, then we are not Christians. We are deceiving ourselves. In his own personal life, contending with himself, because the flesh we desire something contrary to what the spirit in him wanted, but it will bring his subject. It will bring what his body desire. It will bring subject to what his spirit desires. Bring it to. And that is why a man cannot overcome without the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 5, verse 7, he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. That body.
and was hardened that he feared. Though he were his son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he did what? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He has to surrender. That's God himself in flesh. The prophet said, Jesus Christ that you see is not the top person. As he walked upon the streets of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, as he walked, that was the Almighty God. There is no somebody else we are. That was him. And yet, he designed it that way to be the right kind of an husband man that can intercede for us. To taste death, to taste pain, to taste hunger, to taste agony, to taste tiredness, so that he will be able to intercede for us in whatever condition. You see, he obeyed by... Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do what? Unto all them that obey him. What was he obedient to? The word of God. And now then, there will not be one, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Unless he has been living that word. What the word of God says, you do it. What the word of God says, you do it. Your role, your responsibility, your behavior, your everything, your to your family, to your children, to your wife, to your husband, you obey what God says. You obey what God says. No man will sit in that throne. He said, now then, there will not be one person sitting in the throne, not on the throne, sitting in the throne of the Lord Jesus unless he or she has been living that word. That don't live by that word. And to live by that word has to live in you. Yes. Your prayers, your fasting, your repentances, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting in that room. You see? So, not having the Holy Spirit going to the mountain, not having the Holy Spirit going to the wilderness, not having the Holy Spirit going to the valley, not having the Holy Spirit fasting and the rest of it, we are not condemning that. But you remember this is the quote of the prophet. First thing first, get the Holy Ghost. Because that's what makes a man a victor. That's what makes a man a victor. Makes you an overcomer. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no overcoming. No matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting in that throne. It will be granted only to the war bride. And the war bride is the bride. Is an individual who has been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the word bride. There's no other way to define it. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are living by the word. And that's your identity then. Living by the word identifies you as the word bride. As the throne of the king is shared with the queen because she is united. Remember, we are talking about the first quality. It is the overcomer. In our time now, we are talking that we overcome. And remember this promise we are talking about is Laodicean Church Age. That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Down to 21. He that over 22. He that overcometh shall sit within my throne, even as I also overcome and am seated with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Did you notice the arrangement of that? That's seven church books there. How can I overcome? But don't worry if you can get it. Just search for the word. My time is gone. Did you notice the arrangement of that? Set with me in my throne, not on my throne. In my throne, that is in his domain. See? And Christ is the ruler. throne ruler at this time of the complete domain of God. So will the church be with him, the bride be with him in his throne, in the entire domain. See, not on my throne, but in my throne. See, where his domain reaches. A throne is over a domain, and the domain reaches just as far as its boundaries does. And this is from eternity to eternity. Just think of it. That's for the overcomer. God bless you. So let's bow our heads.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads to the doors where you took our bodies from. Lord, in the time you waited for us to be here, as your witness is large, this same body will return back to the dust. Because you said, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Your prophet told us that was not spoken of the soul. We are grateful unto you. That is why you came to make the supreme sacrifice for our souls. Thank you, our Father. Thank you for the week that passed. Your care upon our lives throughout the week. Daily provisions of our needs. Lord, our personal consecration, reading of your word and praying. The family altars, the church service, and the rest of the services. We are very grateful, Father. We know it's not everybody that saw the week that just ended, Lord, the beginning of it that saw the end. But you have kept us. And today is the beginning of another week. We are so grateful. We are so thankful you have brought us. Our joy always is that you promise never to leave us, nor forsake us. You promise to be with us, even in us, to the end of the age. Master, we are depending upon you, Lord. That is why we don't fear trials, temptations, whatsoever will come our way. Because we know, as long as you are with us, we are more than conquerors. Thank you, our Father. Your word has gone forth in simplicity, as it has been delivered unto us by the same messenger of the age. It has been re-echoed. We pray, O gracious Father, may you give us the revelation of the same. And we have been made to know the only the revelation of the word can come to us is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We bring it to conclusion by saying, Lord, as many as I am not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, please, Master, may you remember them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Those already filled, may you continue to refill them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these blessings. May they be permanent in our lives. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has left him. And be with him as he be going to Bakatare, use him for thy glory over there. I will remember in all the nations of the world where your servants will gather today. Lord, pass through them to bring your word unto us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallowed be thy name, Lord, for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.